Blog Talk Radio.
Monday. Like the song they played it the last it Monday. It's the manic Monday.
Wish it was Sunday. That's my fun day. I don't have to run there. Just another manic Monday. Hey, hey. Wish it was Sunday. That's my fun day. Just
guys, thank you for being in the chat room. You guys, this is a great opportunity to call in and talk. But anyways, I wanted to make sure you guys know the number to call in. It's 347-237-5506. So I want you guys to call in. We want to hear from you. The show's for you guys.
Happy first Manic Monday of 2013, everyone. I hope your new year is off to a great start. We'd like to say thank you for being here with us on the Rad Reality Show Network for our Manic Monday show hosted by the beautiful Michelle Costa from Big Brother 10. She has a great show planned for you tonight with an epic guest, and we can't wait to get started. My name is Cherry Garcia. I'll be your co-host tonight, and so will Mr. Paul from Minnesota. How are you doing tonight, Paul?
I'm much better. I was a little more than a little. I was depressed after Saturday night because the Vikings went to Green Bay and lost. But I've kind of gotten over it. It was a little easier to take because our starting quarterback didn't play. But now I'm moving on. I have to say, whoopee. No more lockout, Cherry.
Hockey is back. Well, let's bring on the host of the show, the always wonderful and cheerful and beautiful, Miss Michelle Costa from Big Brother 10. Michelle, how are you, dear?
Well, it's 2013. Let's all put it out there. Our resolutions went down the drain like my diarrhea earlier this morning because I have the flu.
Oh.
Oh. Just kidding. I don't have diarrhea. That's a totally different type of flu. But anyway, Paul, first I want to say Happy New Year and sorry to hear about your team, but I'm super excited about my team. Oh, wait. That's right. What is it? The Pats. What? And I'll be there on Sunday against the Texans. So we'll see how that goes.
What's the chatter? What's the chatter? Are they saying easy victory for you guys?
You know, that's what they say, but you know, we're not ones to either go with that route. We always say that, you know, a bye is never good. Because you don't ever want a team to take a week off. This isn't preseason. You don't want that. They're coming off a win. We're coming off a bye. We don't want them to beat us at our home. And I don't, because that means I don't get to work an extra day at Jordan Stadium. Anyway, I'm super excited. I'll be there. I'm sick as a dog. So if everybody thinks that I sound weird, it's because I have that stupid whatever's going out there flu thing that even if you have the flu shot, doesn't matter. And everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, it's gosh, don't tell me that.
Yeah.
I was hoping the flu shot would save me.
No. Not if you get the flu that's going around right now because they're saying it's a different strain. I honestly never understood why people get the flu shot because when you get the flu shot, you actually get the flu injected into you, so you actually get sick.
No,
but
you
the
don't.
The problem is, yeah.
You don't. It used to be like that years ago, but now it's different. You don't get it. They used to put live flu cells into you, so that you would actually get a touch of the flu. Now it's different, and they don't do that anymore. It's totally different, and you can't get sick from the flu shot anymore. They had a big report on that on the news just like yesterday or the day before.
That's what I thought I saw in the news, that they said that even if you got the flu shot, this type of flu that is going around right now is not even the flu that they gave you a shot for. It's like a different type of strain.
They might not have got that strain into the flu shot that they have. That's possible. But the flu shot can't make you sick anymore.
Oh, well, I know my mom gets sick every year, and she gets a flu shot, and I don't understand.
They say top priority, flu shots are certainly helpful, but washing your hands frequently, because basically anything you touch can carry that bug. So,
but I mean, like, that would mean you would have to wash your hands every second because, I mean, we're touching everything all the time. I don't know.
And, yeah.
You know, it's like one of those things, like, you just got to kind of be
all
like...
Right. Well, let's say then, try not to bring your hands up to your eyes or anything like that. It's the touching around the eyes or picking your nose or...
your
mouth. That picking nose thing, it's going to get you. So, don't do it. But I'm super excited because it's 2013, and I hope you guys all had a great, great new year. It's been like 2 weeks since we've been on. You know, I've missed all you guys. So chat room, what up? And Trey and Paul, love you guys. I'm so glad you guys are back. We're back together.
Yeah,
three amigos.
Thank you.
I am too, Michelle. But just to correct you, because it has been even longer than that. I was so happy you joined us for a little surprise on a Thursday night, but it's actually been 3 weeks since we did our last Manic Monday.
How is that possible? It's Christmas.
Because we did it on the the last one on the 17th, then 1 week to New Year's or Christmas Eve, 1 week to New Year's Eve, and now this is the third week we're back.
Wow. You know, you always bring a numerical, what I'm trying to say. Sorry, people, I can't, my brain is a mush.
No,
you guys
don't
know this
need
fucking
to apologize.
Food stuff. It's just like food really stinks, like, and I don't know if everybody knows, I told Cherry and Paul before, but my birthday was so awesome. I had such a great time with you guys on the radio show and everything. But I had to cancel my own birthday party because of a blizzard that we had, of course. I had the worst birthday ever, so throw a blizzard on top of it. Ugh. And so I just had it Saturday, and I had such a good time, such a blast. I have the greatest friends ever, and it was really special. So I hope you guys got to enjoy some of the pictures I posted.
I'm going to have to go back and check that out. I haven't been on the computer much in the last couple of days, so I will.
You know what? I feel like New Year's resolutions are kind of like one of those things that you know is bullshit, or you're going to go through with it. So let's be honest. Okay, we're going to change our eating habits. Yes, maybe 50-50, I feel. 50-50, especially the fact that Biggest Loser just started, so we feel guilty if we don't. Drinking less. Bullshit. Drinking more. Drinking more because it's a new year and I'm, like, terrified. Going to the gym. You guys know that the gym is banging right now. By February 10th, it'll be dead. You know. I just like how Cherry talks about all the time, being good to each other. I think that would be the best resolution that anybody can just pass along and say that they can hold true to what they want. It's because we all want everybody to be okay, and with everything that's happened the past year, we want to start it off good, and let's not start off and lie with these resolution crap, right? Like, why does it have to be, why is it like 30 seconds before the new year? I can drink, swear like a truck driver, and do all bad stuff, but in 30 seconds, when it turns into January 1st, I can't do it anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, why does that have to be that date? Like Valentine's Day, why does that have to be that day that you show love? You know? So let's be realistic here, people. I'll be honest. I'm not realistic.
That's so true, Michelle. But I went to a wake yesterday and a funeral this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
These people were together. Their 60th wedding anniversary would have been May 9th. And to the day he passed away, their recliners sat next to each other, and they still held hands sitting in their recliners after 60 years together. And that's the kind of thing that makes me happy, to see people that can still be spend 60 years together and still sit next to each other and hold hands. And they were she's still with us, but he was such a wonderful man. He taught so many people so many things and shared his life with so many people. He was a veteran. And if you can share your life with people, teach people what you know, and be kind to each other, then you've spent a good life.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what's important. And I posted something that Dan Kaminsky had posted on his wall, and it talked about a professor having a jar in front of his class, and he had it full of golf balls. And he asked his class, is this jar full? And they said, yes. And he said, okay. And he put some pebbles in the jar, and the pebbles filled the spaces around the golf balls. And he said, now is the jar full? And the classroom said, yes. And he said, okay. And he put sand around poured sand in, and the sand filled in the spaces in between the golf balls and the pebbles. And he said, now is the jar full? And they said, yes. And he said, okay. And he pulled out two beers from underneath his desk, and he poured the contents of two full beers into this big jar. And he said, now is the jar full? And they're like, yes, you know, and they're kind of laughing. And he said, okay, he says, I want to explain that this jar basically constitutes your life. The golf balls are the important things in your life, your family, the friends that you love and mean so much to you, you know, your dearest friends, those are the golf balls. The pebbles are things like your car, your home, you know, the material things that mean a lot to you, but they don't mean as much as the golf ball things. The sand is the little things. But you see, if you pour the sand in first, you don't have room for the golf balls. And what I'm trying to say is pay attention, you know, to the golf balls and not so much to the small things.
Wow, that's pretty deep, Cherry.
And so one girl raised her hand and
she said,
what does the two beers represent? And he said, I'm glad you asked. He said, that just goes to show you that there's always time to stop and have a couple beers with a friend. And
wow.
I thought that was a pretty cool thing, you know.
That's pretty cool. I'm sorry, but that's pretty epic mess right there. Manic Mondays, 2013. In the house, Cherry, ripping it up.
Well, we have your special guest, and we actually have a clip to welcome him with. So I'm going to play that, and then we'll bring him on.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I'm Ian Terry. I'm 21 years old. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm an engineer.
Congratulations.
Ian, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing really well. How are you?
Great.
Hey, Ian, it's Michelle. Thank you so much for coming on Manic Mondays. Happy New Year.
Thanks. Happy New Year, you guys.
So, Ian, first off, I just want to say thank you for making an appearance on Manic Mondays, and we're super excited to have you. And I've also been blessed enough to then able to spend a lot of time with Ian. So, such a great guy. And you know what? Sometimes they say editing is one thing, but I think that he got a great edit. He is exactly what he appears to be, the great, sweet guy that we all love. And we want to know, how did you ring in the new year, Ian?
I actually went down to a casino with friends. And just had a good time.
You
there.
To the casino? Get out of here.
Yeah. They give me drinks down there, so that's, you know, a plus.
Oh, my goodness. Ian, you know, you got to go to Toys for Tots. That's one thing I want to just talk about real quick because it's kind of fresh.
Definitely.
How was your experience there? Because I'll tell you one thing. I was so honored to have you there. You know, I've been doing it for, like, over 5 years, and just to be able to see how it's been developing. How was your experience there? Because it was pretty awesome, right?
Definitely a lot of fun. It was really good to help out. You know, I think the community there really appreciated having us, so I think it was really a good weekend, really a worthwhile charity event, definitely.
Well, Ian, so I'm going to just go right to the point. What have you spent your winnings on? We all want to know.
Right.
What did you buy? Because I know I've asked you many times, so I'm not going to spill the beans.
Right. So I got $504,000. So I put $4,000 of that. I decided it was going to be fun money. So I've got a few trips. I've been around the United States in the past few months because I've taken time off school. So I had a few trips. I went to L.A., I went to Orlando, I went to Seattle, Chicago, got to see a lot of the country. So that was part of that. Still haven't decided what, but the rest, that's fun money. I call that $4,000 is my fun money. Then right now I'm spending probably about $50,000 is estimated just to pay off my school loans. And the rest I'm saving for, you know, buying a house after I graduate.
So did you get the bike that you wanted? Because I know that was, like,
one
of the things that you wanted.
Yes, I'm in the process of looking to buy a bike right now because the weather hasn't been very good in Pittsburgh, and I need a bike in New Orleans. So I'm going back to New Orleans in 2 days, so I guess the bike hunt will begin when I get down there.
Well, tell us what you're going to do down in New Orleans, because New Orleans is an awesome spot. So what are you doing down there?
I am going back to school. Monday, a week from now, is the first day of classes. So that's going to be my first time going back to class since doing Big Brother. And I'm really excited about that. But otherwise, looking forward to Mardi Gras season. That's always fun in the spring. So should be a good time.
Wait. So, do you show your boobs for beads?
you know, I actually have a habit of taking my shirt off on
on Bourbon Street and down in the French Quarter. I've done it a few times for Beads, yeah.
Quack, quack. I'll give that a quack, quack. Cherry and Paul's, do we get a quack, quack? Quack,
quack. Quack,
quack.
Absolutely.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's a
you
great
know,
time down there.
Ian,
I saw like, you the, have... Oh, go ahead, Cherry.
I saw that the paper at the school gave you quite... notoriety in the
mm-hmm.
article that they wrote down there about the things that they talked about in 2012.
Yes.
You got number
yes.
five on the list.
Yes, I got
number
five.
Number five, wait, what?
Yes, I got number five on their top
you
ten.
You should have got number one, but okay, number five is okay.
Yeah, I got number five on their top ten talked about things in 2012, so I was pretty happy with that. Yeah, it was really good. I've been, you know, they put a few things out there in their newspapers since I was on the show about me, and I think it was really neat to see that, you know, they were excited for me when I was on the show and that I made an impression in 2012. So I think that was really cool.
So you
yeah,
haven't
like,
actually been back to school since being on Big Brother.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what it's like for you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I got my classes scheduled. That's you know just got finalized the other day. Professors let me in his class, which I'm excited about. So it's going to be a good opportunity.
Well,
sure
Ian, I got a question for you.
Sure.
You know. A lot of people ask you, you know, being in the house, you were such a big fan.
Right.
Was your perception of Dan the same way as what you saw him when he was on my season?
You know, it was a lot different when I watched the show back. I mean, in Big Brother 10, I think I remember he screwed over, you know, a good amount of people, but it wasn't like he screwed over the whole house consistently. And it seemed like in Big Brother 10, he really had loyalty to Memphis and, you know, himself. But in Big Brother 10, or in this most recent season, it looked like he was the only person that it came down to was him. He had no loyalty to anybody. And he would have cut Danielle at the last opportunity if he had the chance. So... You know, I think, yeah, there's a big difference.
You know, a lot of people say to me, oh, Dan was so different. And I was like, he wasn't. He was exactly the way he was.
Yeah,
Did you guys ever get together and say, oh, we need to get these certain people out? Did you guys ever think about that? Or did you feel like, oh, they have kind of like emphasis on them, which is taking it off me, especially if, you're the one pulling all the tricks, right, Ian?
Well, the thing is with Dan was I had to work with him around final seven when I won that HOH because I didn't have anywhere else to turn. That was the only person left, per se, because Brittany was gone. So I had to work with someone, so he was all that was left. And, you know, I did realize that if I were to get to the final two with him, since he was a returning player, I'd have a very good chance of winning. So... That was why I wanted to work with him. That was, you know, the immediate benefits that I saw.
So wait. So you're saying that he was a returning player. You don't think that funeral, whatever you call it.
Oh, he should have gone. Yeah, there wasn't much doubt in my mind that he should have gone that week. I mean, that was in my mind the optimal time to get rid of him because Frank had him, you know, right on the block, no possibility of getting off, no veto. He should have gone that week. He just got himself off it through, you know, manipulating Frank and Jen, and, you know, that obviously that worked. But, I wanted him to go that week. Brittany and I wanted him out that week. He turned the tables on us. That's what happened.
Now, you know, one of the biggest, I think, moments, like, watching it was, how respectful Mike Boogie was when he found out everything about what you did. And I have to say, a lot of people came down on Boogie or whatever, and I really think that he stayed true to himself. And at that moment, I think that really capped it off when he respected your game. How
you
did that make you feel? And did you know that he felt like that? Like, what did you think was going to happen, you know?
But when I was in the house, I didn't think he was going to be happy with me at all. I think I was pretty concerned. I thought he was not going to talk to me because he left the house. It was kind of an angry note between me and him. So, because he knew I had passed him, but against him. So I didn't think we'd be friends or that he would have, you know, liked the move that I made against him. When I watched it back, he's a really great guy, and I really think that Mike is one of those players. I think he's gotten a really bad reputation throughout the years. He's a really nice guy, and he's one of those people that, you know, respects the game and respects the moves that have to be made in the game. And, you know, obviously he did teach me pretty well, which was the entire point of the twist this season anyway.
May I, you know, you heard me interrupt, but it's just ironic that you just brought this up because I actually, by the way, I'm Paul from Minnesota. Hi, Ian, welcome. I actually created a clip of that that night and your goodbye message, and that was
Ooh,
one of my most.
Ooh, let's
hear it. Yeah, it was one of the most memorable
Ooh, awesome.
Evictions and goodbye messages, and I'm glad you brought that up, Michelle. Here we go.
By a vote of 5-2, Boogie, you are evicted from the Big Brother house.
Ian is not to be trusted.
And then already now.
Ian, what happened, dog?
Not cool,
buddy.
Not cool.
You whispered to Frank, Ian is not to be trusted, right before you exited. What did Ian whisper to you in your ear?
He said, you're going to see some things that you don't like. Apparently, I didn't get his vote. And he referenced something I said to an evicted house guest during All-Stars, which was get to step in. And he said it with a bit of conviction in his voice, as if he might be playing for the other side. I love the kid. I looked out for him every step of the way. I'm not ashamed of anything I did.
In the event you were the one voted out tonight, your housemates taped some goodbye messages. Let's listen.
Uh-oh.
I've watched you on this show since I was 10, and I have nothing but admiration and respect for how you play this game. Now for the hard part. Since the reset, I've been in an alliance called the Quack Pack with Dan, Danielle, Brittany, and Shane. I'm the one that told Brittany and Shane you were coming after them. This week, I masterminded your demise. I learned from one of the best, and that is why you're sitting with me right now. I'm really sorry.
I'm not mad at him. I still love him. I'm proud of him. He did learn from the best, and that's why he did what he did.
The Quack Pack. Oh, my God.
The new Chill Town.
The new Chill Town.
Mike
thanks,
Boogie,
Julie.
Thanks so much.
Thanks
it's always fun watching you play
thank
this
you,
game.
That was some great applause.
Yeah.
That really got me, like, on the, in, like, the stomach area, like,
oh, yeah.
I know that Ian, it brought me back to, like, a different point.
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, so intense.
It was, yeah.
And, you know, Mike Boogie, honestly, for me, I give him the biggest credit. He was the only one that didn't accept America's Choice. And if you really thought about it, he knew he had a great team because, hey, Ian would have made him a $100,000 winner. So
yeah, absolutely.
I think Mike Boogie knew in the bottom of his heart he had a great team, and I think I give him mad respect for that.
I agree, and I think it goes to show that he did really well with that because all of his players were still there on day 62.
Right.
So with only 2 weeks left of the season, he still had all three of his people there. He was very, he was probably best at coming to bat for his players when they needed it as well, because he bailed Frank out twice. He bailed me out once. Generally didn't need bailed out much, but, I mean, he obviously was very good at coming to bat for his team.
Yeah, he wasn't shy at all.
No.
He would come to battle for any of his team.
Right, absolutely.
Now, Ian, like, I'm just wondering, like, you know, you are such a huge fan, I think by far the hugest fan. Like, what was one of the things that you realized going into it? Like, maybe, like, oh, you know, because I said this, I was like, oh, my God, I'm such a big fan, and I used to make fun of people, and I'm like, oh, my God, I will never, ever do that because the house is so hard. Is there anything that you made yourself step out of your body and say, whoa, this is, like, crazy? Or was it everything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just walking. What for me, it was just going into the front yard. That was really the...
And it's not even outside.
No, just... Just going.
She returned
to
that to me. She's like, "You said it was outside."
That was the weirdest part. That was the weirdest part for me. Just seeing the front yard, being in the front yard. That's when it got all real. We're lined up. The guys on one side, girls on the other side. That was just very strange to be there, and you just kind of like, "Well, this is I'm actually going in there, seeing the blue door, and knowing that the house is on the other side." I think that was the weirdest thing for me.
Now, you know what? I love seeing your family, meeting them and everything. How has this been affected? Like, how has it been for them to adapt to this? Because I'm sure this has been so new. Such a new life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's totally different for them. I think they, have to adapt a little bit to it because, you know, right now I'm living at home. I'm leaving in 2 days.
Break your mama's heart.
I think they're ready to see me to go back to school. But, I think that they really had to adapt to me living in the house again. So, for them, that was hard, and, obviously, I guess when we, would go out to dinner or something, if someone would, come up and recognize you from the show, I think that's fun for them. I think they kind of enjoy that.
Aww.
So, has that been fun for you? You're a quiet person, you're reserved.
Yeah.
How has this been? Because, I've spent a lot of time with you, and, you're such an awesome person. You're very quiet, a lot different than me, but yeah, at the same time, we're so the same. How has it been for you,
I mean, it's a lot. It's definitely interesting. I'm very reserved, in my everyday life. I'm not hugely extroverted. I'm not really, I'm not the crazy, type or anything like that.
You're not me.
I guess. I just kind of I go with the flow, and I'm really I like to meet fans. I think that's really fun.
What's
really
the flow when you win Big Brother? Like, how has it been? I'm sure it's been like, know you've kept still to yourself. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really. I just think about it. It's like it was a game show. And, it's really neat. It's really cool that, I won, and I think it's great, to know that I paid for my school and everything. But, it's really, not that different than just, going on Jeopardy. I guess it's just I'm on for a lot longer time, a lot more focus on me. I think it's interesting, but I don't really, I don't really act differently at all.
People feel they get to know you, though, and that's probably the hardest part is people come up and feel that they know you, and you don't know them from Adam,
Right.
And so it's got to be awkward for you when have somebody come up and they feel like they know so much about you.
Yeah, there's probably the same thing as me walking into a New Hampshire hotel and being like, hey, Ian, how's your sausage? Like, We barely know each other, but we are linked in this, like,
absolutely
such an awesome, like, moment in our lives that we all know what we feel at a different moment, but we're all brought together. And then we meet all, like, wonderful people that follow us and that know more than we do and know that what we say and do when we do it and when we say it. And I know Ian is probably as much appreciated as I am for how awesome our fans are, right, Ian?
Absolutely.
Shout out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Really fun, really good group of people following the show. So, yeah, I think it's really neat.
So what was your trip from L.A. to Vegas like, riding with Dennis Luciani? I know he kind of takes everyone under his
Dennis
wing.
Is awesome.
He's such a great guy.
Yeah, nice guy.
He's amazing.
I think it was really fun. Obviously, I had just gotten out, so I'm at this point, you know, at that point anyway, I'm trying to get a grasp on what I've missed for the past 3 months. I was really hungover that day. It was really fun. I enjoyed Las Vegas. It was a great time. I really liked that. It was neat to see everybody.
Wait, you were hungover, Ian? Get the frig out of here.
Well, yeah, because there was a...
Spend time with me. Don't even blame me.
The post-finale
party.
Did you
get pussy cat ears?
The first finale party in L.A., right?
Yeah. Right.
Which
so
was a lot of fun.
The next day was when I went with him. So, I mean, it was a lot of fun.
He's such a great guy. He takes many people that first come off the show under his wing and lets them know what they're about to experience and lets them know that he's always going to be there. And
absolutely.
But he gives them kind of a heads up to what's about to happen, you know?
Yes.
Well, that's a great segue, Cherry, because I want to know what's about to happen with Ian. Ian, what is your, like, I know you're going back to school and everything, but what do you have in the works? Because I know a man like you has things going on in his brain and is calculating stuff. So what's up?
Right now, going back to class, that's number one goal. Going back to my job, going to be working, in a dormitory at Tulane, again, back at the same job I've always had. So I'm just trying to go back to normal life. I want to play Big Brother again at some point. It's a really great game. I enjoy it. I wanted to see, you know, how well I would do if I could be on there with some people that I'm friends with. If I don't win, see someone that I'm friends with win. I think that would be really cool.
So are you saying that you would like to go back on All Stars? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I would definitely play that.
And we're friends, right?
I'm trying to get an alliance together. I'm trying to find a good alliance this time.
Well, you know, I'd like to win, and I know you'd like to see me win, so
absolutely.
This is a good alliance. Nobody
absolutely.
Tell anybody. Nobody say anything, okay? Ian, don't say a word, final two, and I will shred the speech. What my question is to you is, what did you take in with the whole Big Brother? Did you apply many times? How was your experience with the whole casting process? It's because a lot of people want to know. They think that we have like a hand in. We're just normal people. So how did you get on Big Brother?
I went through the regular casting process. I wasn't, recruited or anything like that. I saw an ad online saying to go to, a casting call at a restaurant in New Orleans on a Friday night. I said, hey, I like the show. This is the first year I'm old enough to apply. Why the hell not just try out and see what happens? So I went down there, and, one thing led to another, and I made it onto the show.
So I just.
So was it your first try?
It was my first try because it was the first year I was even old enough to try out for it. Yeah.
That's great, and to have somebody with your big brother knowledge to make it on the show. I mean,
yeah,
to hear you in the backyard talking about the show and hear you rattle off so many things about the show. I mean, you knew who went out when on any season. You could just answer their questions, you know, just one after the other. It was so awesome to hear how much you knew about the game. And I'm sure that sort of put the fear in some of them, knowing how much you did know.
It absolutely did. I mean, I think part of the reason I had a lot of issues the first week was I revealed a little bit too much about how much I knew about it. I probably should have lied about my education background as well, looking back. I mean, obviously it worked out, but it gave me a lot of undue targets that probably could have. Eventually I was able to hide that, and it went ignored for weeks. I just played dumb for a long time. But I feel like it wouldn't have been as immediate an issue if I had hidden it. But, it all worked out, obviously. It was really fun to be in there. And I think one of the really neat things was having Mike Bookie in there, who was on Big Brother 2. So there was someone in the backyard that I could sit and talk to about, the ancient, olden days. And you would talk about how, everything.
Wow,
was
ancient. I like how we call
ancient.
It that nowadays. Ancient.
Big Brother 2 is ancient. So I mean,
well, that was
really
one of the better seasons ever.
It was a really good one. So it was really neat to talk to him about what it used to be like and how the show was back in those days. And I think that was really neat.
Now, how was it for you guys when you guys all decided, like, were you part of the Janelle being taken out? How did you feel at that moment? Because that was a big moment. I mean, for anybody to be able to take out Janelle before a jury, how did you feel about that, being a big-time Big Brother fan? Because if you're a Big Brother fan, you're a Janelle fan, period, end of story.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was great. I mean, when that offer first came up, on the table, I was elated that this was even being discussed, because if there was any particular moment in there early on that just put me in a position to go for a long run, that would be it. Because I think at that point, Janelle wasn't willing to nominate any coach and was not willing to nominate any of her players. So that meant she would nominate some mix of me, Frank, Jen, Danielle, Shane. And Frank would be gone if he went that week, because that's who was kind of in the firing line. And that would mean that I'd be her number one target. And she's someone that could win HOH at any point in time. And I don't want to be her target, because she's obviously good in HOH competitions. I would likely go home if she went at household. So when her name came up and Danielle was all gung-ho about it, I immediately was really, really excited to see her go. There was no doubt about that, because if Frank went that week like he was supposed to, she was without much of a doubt coming after me and Mike Boogie the next time. So I was very happy to see her out.
Well, now, what were your thoughts on the coaches? Did you already automatically think, yes, they're coming back? Did you think that you should have adapted with a lot of them? Like, how was your outlook? Because you had a different way of looking at it from other people, because you knew the game well. So you knew they were coming back. There was no matter of America's Vote. They were coming back.
Right. I had a feeling they were going to get into the game. The reason being, there weren't enough people. There weren't enough people to make the show go 75 days. The numbers didn't work out. I mean, maybe if people were coming back, it would work, but with the numbers the way they were, with sending someone home the first night, it seems to me that at least one of them, if not more, were going to enter the game at some point. And
I obviously liked the coach's twist because it, you know, it worked for me in that I was able to get good advice from Mike. You know, I was able to get safe. There was another way to get safety, which I needed the first round of actual play. I could have been the second one out easily. So obviously I liked the twist. But I also knew that the coaches were there for me to use, and it really wasn't the other way around in my mind. The coaches were there to give me advice, not the coach use me to win $100,000. So I kept in mind that at some point I'm going to have to go against what Mike says, and then that's eventually what happened.
It's probably what made you the winner of Big Brother 14. I mean,
I think
such a great game.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, you had a lot of dealings with past players because they had a chance to figure you guys out before you had a chance to know what was going on. And
right.
Yeah, and though you still made it such a huge move by saying, you know what, I feel like my alliance is going to turn on me, so let me put them out in Front Street first.
Right.
But then you kept yourself hidden. And then Dan was doing all these things, all these shenanigans, which I think kind of kept you in the backdrop, which is brilliant.
Yeah, I
you
mean,
know?
Really... How the way it played out was, here we are at 12 people left, you know, reset game. I figured out that I could play off of the two sides going after each other for a while. Then I could use that. Then I figured that once we hit about 10 people left, if I just, get the one beyond the bigger of the two sides, so the side with more numbers, then have them just go to war. And then once it got to top nine, that was kind of a break point where I would actually start to try in the challenges, and I was winning just about every week. So I was immune for most of the game going from final nine onward. I was either HOH or veto holder. So no matter how badly they wanted to get rid of me, they couldn't.
You had a great strategy. I mean, there's no two ways about it.
Yeah, thank you.
It was incredible to watch. It was a lot of fun. This past season was so much fun to watch. And I hope they can, keep it up and entertain us as well, going forward, because this was a fun season to watch.
Yeah, watching it as a viewer, from an objective standpoint, I thought that was a really good season.
Now, looking back at it, did you think that, how people say, oh, my God, it's so hard, it's the most difficult thing? You have to say, it was probably the most difficult thing you've ever done in your life, correct?
I would say... parts of it were, yes. Other parts
were.
Wow. There was just the semester of class that I had before doing the show. I was getting like 2 hours of sleep a night, 3 hours of sleep a night. I was beat down, doing work constantly. It was a really, really tough semester. So that was the thing. Like, have nots was luxury living. Compared to what I had been doing. So parts of it were very emotionally taxing. Other parts weren't. Towards the end when I was winning HOHs frequently, it wasn't very difficult at all because it was very comfortable. I was in a very comfortable position. So certain parts were very difficult, very emotionally taxing. Other parts weren't. And, I very much enjoyed my stay. I would say that it's probably the second hardest thing I've done overall.
Now, is there any time that you ever thought that you were going to lose against Dan? Because I never thought there wasn't, but working in the house, I'm sure there was a different feeling.
What was that, though?
I said, it was every time that you thought you were going to lose against Dan, because looking from the outside in, I would say no, that wasn't a possibility, but did you ever think that? Or did you say, it's a shoe-in?
No, I felt that around, I think it was Final Seven, I said in the diary room, right after I won the Final Seven HOH, I said, if I get Frank out this week, I don't think there's anybody that I would lose to in the jury vote. I figured I had a pretty good handle about against anybody in the Final Six. Maybe Shane would be a little bit tough to beat. I don't know. That would have been close. But anybody else I felt like I had a good chance against. Maybe towards the end when Daniela finished, she would taint the jury. I was going to cut her. I didn't care. Maybe if she was able to do that, that worried me. But otherwise, I felt that I would be able to beat any of them. So I really didn't until the very end. But I figured it would be 4-3. I figured she'd make it closer. I didn't think she would cause me to lose.
No. That was Dan who planted that. That was a strategy that Dan asked Danielle to play on you.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't work.
I know.
I mean, I felt bad for cutting her, but I had no qualms about it. I mean, I had to cut somebody if I won. It was pretty obvious. It's kind of hard to treat someone that way and then not expect to get cut. So, yeah, I didn't mind.
Now, did you guys discuss what was going on for the votes when it got near the end? Did you have an understanding that Danielle was going to go for Dan, or did you guys kind of keep it in the loop without anybody knowing?
Oh, what was that?
The jury votes?
Yeah, I had things that I knew. I knew Joe liked me. I figured Shane would likely not vote for Dan after screwing him over royally. I figured Brittany and I were really good friends, so I figured I'd be able to get her vote. She's someone who's known to vote for her friend in the final two based on her previous outing, so I felt pretty good about that. Ashley and Frank, I know that Frank had at one point said in the house that if I was in the final two, he would vote for me simply because that me being there proved that I had made the correct decision in switching sides. And I figured Ashley would do what Frank told her to do. So I figured that that was enough votes right there. I figured that it might be close, but I figured I would have it. I didn't expect to get sent, but I thought that was a lost cause. But obviously I did get it, so that was a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have a caller. Would you like to take calls?
Let's take a call.
Sure.
Let's do this. And we even have a clip for this one.
Okay, wait. I want to just say this again. I said this last night. The views and points of Kansas is not the views and points of the Rad Reality Show and Manic Monday.
We always play that for her. Kansas, thank you for calling in tonight. How are you, dear?
Ah, you have to admit I've been good lately.
You have
been
good. You've
been so good, Kansas, goddammit.
Well, instead of my usual y'all call out, in honor of our beautiful winter Pittsburgher Ian, to everybody, Happy New Year's, Yins, guys. And Ian, I am so glad you beat that jag off, Dan. I didn't say it. Yes. I had to do my best Pittsburghies.
It was very good.
Let's go downtown and have a beer, baby. And congratulations. This season sucked so bad for me, but you winning made the whole thing wonderful. I have to tell you.
Thank you.
These guys know how upset I was through this whole freaking season. I hated it. I just hated it. And Ian, I was so scared. I'm like screaming through the TV at you to take Dan, and I couldn't stand Danielle. I really couldn't. But I'm screaming, take Danielle! take her, please. Don't take Dan, because we were all so afraid. Because Dan always had his wonderful speeches, Ian. And I'm going to tell you something.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Your speech kicked ass. He sucked. Dan choked at the best time.
It wasn't really good. He was stumbling quite a lot.
He practiced that speech for hours out in the backyard. He even went in the in the storage room and found a timer. And he went out in the backyard after everybody had gone to sleep, and he practiced that speech with a timer forever.
I know.
Cutting it down and
cutting
it down.
We're over it, Dan.
And
I never actually practiced it ever. I just kind of went
you
with it.
Kick
I had like a general
ass,
idea.
My man.
Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful. I'm so happy you won. Congratulations. You deserve it.
Thank you.
Because the way they were manipulating
this
game.
Kansas, your thoughts on the whole, like, kind of coaching, whatever thing, like...
Oh, shit, it sucked. I hated it, Ian. I want to see new people. I'm tired of them doing this. That's why I was so afraid that Dan was going to win, because they manipulated the game last season for Rachel to win, and it was just like a part two from the season before. It sucked. I hated it.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, seen as that. I personally don't like mixing of returning players and new players. I think that they need to just do a full All-Stars next time, or just all new people.
New All-Stars. Oh, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I'm having a moment.
I know you're having a moment. You've been having that moment, Michelle, for the last 4 years.
I've been having this moment for 5 years. Let me just
figure
out it.
No,
and I had to hear enough from Dan this season. Oh, maybe Michelle's coming back. It's like, just leave me alone.
Ian, us fans have been complaining about mixture of old and new for quite a while, even also on Survivor. And I know you're a Survivor fan as well, and we feel the fans feel the same way about Survivor. But,
absolutely.
I'm pretty sick of the mixing of old and new. And what I think is going to happen, what is happening is new players are holding it against returning players in their gameplay and jury votes. And I mean, I feel like new players, and I think you saw it with both this most recent season of Survivor and this most recent season Big Brother, is that new players are going to be hard pressed to vote for a returning player to win. And I feel that it's probably just for the better to not mix the two going forward.
But they've been mixing the two. And the fact that people have made it that have mixed in between, some of them have made it to the end, though not winning. It's kind of like one of those things like, okay, we're all like in the same boat. Kick them off. Don't let them continue. But then they get through it. How is it that all of us knowing what's going down, how do we let these people go through? Is it because we all inside have this moment that we love, that TV moment?
I think that this year, I really didn't look at the returning players any differently than, say, any other player. I saw them, if a returning player was in the final two, I'd have no problem voting for a returning player if I felt they played the better game. I had no problems working with returning players. I didn't hold it against the returning players. It didn't really help them in my mind. I felt no more allegiance to them than I did anybody else, because in Survivor, having a returning player there, it's extremely helpful because they know how to deal with the nature, the elements, building shelter, getting food. They've been there, and that's a helpful resource. Aside from when the coaching phase of the game was going on, I don't need Dan or Brittany, there to tell me how to, fend for myself and make a sandwich, take care of myself in the house. That level of usefulness isn't there. And with the nature of the twist this year, everybody built a bond or was supposed to build a bond with their coach for the first month. And then once they were in the game, it wasn't so immediately obvious that it would be newbies versus veterans like it was last year because the bonds were already there. And we did see that with Danielle and Dan and Frank and Boogie were unwilling to turn on each other as well. So that's why I think it played out the way it did.
So do you think that, like, coming at it a different angle, because you kind of made us see a different light. I didn't, from what you just said, it was a totally different vision than what I saw, because I would have said, you know what, these people that are coming back, number one, have already a limelight on them.
Right.
You know, it's, and you are such an undercover guy, but at the same time, it's, that could have been your downfall. So, was it because the people were such outgoing personalities, or was that your game plan from the beginning, to be just quiet?
Well, I mean, I wanted to lay low early on. I wanted to play dumb and try and make it not too much of an issue. But I think the returning players, had the advantage in that they were able to build a bond with their team, and there was not going to be that division this time, is really what I think it came down to.
So you don't – did anybody – surrounding you know how much knowledge you had of Big Brother?
I mean, yeah, they knew. They knew how much knowledge I had. I let on way too much at the beginning. I should never
definitely. And definitely, you shouldn't have told them all that you did, really.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That was a huge issue.
But you still made out good, so that's the great thing.
Yeah, I think it was an issue, and I had to play dumb for multiple weeks, and I think it worked. And they definitely underestimated me at a certain point. Looking back, should have said I didn't watch the show. And on top of that, I should have said, I should not have said I was an engineering student. I should have lied about that. I should have said I was, doing something else, just not that. Because, you don't want people to...
Yeah, but you'd only say that if you didn't win, but you won, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because they would have won the same year.
Exactly. Honestly, I did everything right.
Yeah.
Honestly, but I could have, I think, I won.
A lot of us have said that, lies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of us could have, a lot of us said lies, and look at, you did what we've all wanted to do, so.
Yes.
You could say lies and truths, it doesn't matter. It's how you... play it at the moment. So,
right, exactly. I mean, honestly,
it's all about
out.
The moment. Yeah.
Right.
And it
right.
was so cool, too, you guys, because none of us knew who was going to win. My big fear was I thought for sure Dan was going to win.
No. I was so scared.
I was so scared Dan was going to win this whole time. I mean, I was afraid of this from a while on. I was so scared of that.
Yeah, but we all knew he blew his foot out a long time back, and if it wasn't Ian, Dan would have won. It was only Ian to get to that point.
It was beautiful.
I had listened to like a lot of discussions or read a lot of things online that were as the show was going on and opinions of the show. And when it was down to about the final five or so, it was right after that double eviction where I saved myself on the veto competition. One gentleman who, gives commentary on his site said, going back to Big Brother 14, or as I call it, Dan, Ian, and the Goof Troop. I thought that was pretty funny.
That's great.
How how that was how he referred to it when we were down to about five or six. I thought that was really funny.
Well, you know, what are your thoughts on what's going to happen next year? I know we've kind of touched a little bit about it, but let's be serious. Do you think there's going to be a new cast? If you were asked to be back on All Stars, would you? What do you think your chances would be? It's kind of a together question, but I know you understand.
I think that the Big Brother 15 will be all new casts, is what I would imagine, because I feel like they're going to have All-Stars soon. I would, if I had to guess, I think Big Brother 16 would be All-Stars, or like Good versus Evil, or Old School versus New School, something like that, you know, where there's returning players, all returning players.
I have Evil ears right now poking out. Just want to let you know.
But I think 15 will be all new players. You know, I've seen people's ideas for twists or whatever I've read online. You know, what types of twists people would like to see. I think 15 will be all new players.
Hey Ian, many times in the house.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Paul.
Many times, Ian, in the house, we watched you call yourself, you know, an evil player as opposed to a good player. And a lot of the fans, we often thought, what's he talking about? Did you really feel that?
You know, one thing, and I think early on especially, comparisons could have been made. I think typically that the character that I felt that I was fulfilling on the show was similar to that of like Ronnie or Matt Hoffman from Big Brother 12, who were.
That's funny because you've been compared to Matt Hoffman and Ronnie, so that's pretty funny.
So you know, I mean, we had typically I feel like that character type has been portrayed as evil, so I thought that was you know what. How it was, how
but I
was
never thought
portrayed.
You were evil, though. I never thought that.
I
never thought that. Maybe people look at it differently, but I never
I thought that's how it was being portrayed.
I didn't.
Charlie,
did you think that?
No.
I didn't
see him as being evil, although I understand how he can feel that way because he was going, you know, between the two.
Yeah, but he never gave it enough.
That's just good
gameplay. Never gave it enough to make you really feel full on that. I don't know. To me, that's weird.
You know, I can see how you can feel that way, but I thought it was good game.
Because Ian had to betray Boogie because Boogie was on Frank's side, and Boogie was going to be looking out for Frank over Ian, so he had to do that.
I don't think that was evil. I think that
the
coaches were in limbo, and they could go either way, and it didn't matter to him what the coaches were going to do. It was what the coaches wanted to do, so he had to do what he needed to do at that moment. For me, I just never, I don't know. The whole coach thing for me was just ridiculous. Yeah, it was bullshit. It was, once again, another Big Brother
debacle.
Yeah, you know, it didn't faze me. I was like, bring it on. I love that Mike Boogie didn't want to vote, if that's what the way he wanted to. If that was a fucking TV, I don't care. But at the end, he would have won $100,000. I think he still should have won it. Because
yeah,
I
agree.
I don't care.
He should have.
Yeah.
I feel like he should have gotten a cut.
And I think that's how they should have done it, and they could have ended that storyline, because at the end we want to know who the fuck is who the fuck is the best coach, and I think Mike Boogie in the long run is the best coach because
he's
the one that said no, he stuck by his team won, and at the end. Who screwed him over, he still gave him dabs. He still said, Ian rocked it.
Yeah.
How do you not respect that? I think that he really got taken out of, you know, a lot of people gave him slack this year. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean,
I think a lot
agree.
Of people say, him and Evil, it was all about Will. No, because just because Will wasn't there, there was a lot going on.
Right.
I can understand it, but at the same time, you got to give him respect. And I think that's what he deserves, period.
Can I just say one thing when you brought up about Dr. Will? Did you find this so cool, Ian, that he picked you to win, like early on in the game? Wasn't that cool?
Yes, I thought that was really neat. I guess I'm not sure how he came to figuring that.
There was a lot of office conversations with Ian in it. So I guess he obviously knows
the game well, so I guess he saw. I do know that before coming in, before going into the show, I know that Dr. Will had discussed this with Mike, because Dr. Will, I think, knew that Mike was going in and that Mike was going to be coaching the game. I think they had discussed it. I don't know if Will had been asked. I have no idea. But
I heard that he did get asked, and he denied it, and Mike Boogie is in place with him. That's what I've heard, but that doesn't mean that it's true.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't think, I think Will said he's done with it.
I think if it was Will or Mike Boogie, personally, as a huge Big Brother fan, as I think, you know, you, Ian, and Cherry and Paul, I would have been super duper happy to see either one of them. I was so super excited to see Boogie, and I would have been excited to see Will. So, period of the story, I was excited, right?
Yeah. I was really excited by it. I was excited to see Boogie in there, so I thought that was great. And you know, I think that you know, both are really great players in their own right. But I know that the two had discussed the idea, and Dr. Will and Boogie had agreed that if Mike Boogie was given the opportunity to pick a team, his objective in picking the team, Dr. Will said to Mike, was that he should pick men in their 20s that remind them of what they were like when they were that age. And obviously, Mike picked Frank because Frank, I guess Mike saw Frank in him at that age. I know that Dr. Will, apparently, when he was in college, was really, apparently was a really dorky guy, is what I had read somewhere. So I guess he saw that in me. I guess maybe the intelligence factor was there, so he saw that. I would imagine that you know, if Boogie had his way, I think the team that Boogie wanted was Frank. I think he was hoping that Carol was a second round holdout, and he was hoping that I would be in the third round. I think that's what he said at one point his ideal team would have been, because in the time before we went outside to pick teams, we had about an hour and a half, and he said to me that he figured that I would be picked in the third round, but he said that it would be a really good sleeper pick, is what he said to me. So, you know, I feel that he definitely had the right idea picking Frank and myself. I feel that men in their 20s tend to be the type that win the show. So if you're going to pick a team, I would think that picking two men in their 20s is a great place to start.
Absolutely. You know, I just want to say that you've given us an insight on things that we, as huge Big Brother fans, we watch live feeds, we watch everything, and we thank you so much for everything. And, you know, I'm a Big Brother fan, like you, Ian, and I was on the show too, so yes, us, thank God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And just like to let everybody know out there, like, hello, you could be like me and Ian. Hello,
absolutely.
Big for the fans. Bring it. Don't sing it. Listen, you want to apply? You want to apply? Say what's up. Don't fake the funk. All right? Ian, thank you so much for coming on Manic Mondays. We've been talking about this for a while. I've had the pleasure of hanging out with you. You and me have had Quack Pack pictures. I just want to ask you, is there anything you want to tell our fans, the viewers, anybody that's what's going on in Ian's life before we go off?
No, I think we've covered it pretty well. I'm just going back to school, so that's what I'm doing right now, and that's the plan. So that's it.
Well,
Ian,
I just
what
want
did
to
you think
say
of-
I'm a huge Ian fan. I don't know, Cherry, are you? I know you are.
Oh, absolutely. I wanted to find out what he thought about the Survivor season before we let him go.
Good question. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good season. It was very unpredictable. Very one of the more volatile seasons that I've seen in Survivor. So I thought it was a really good one. I enjoyed watching it.
I love the Survivor season. I thought it was one of the best seasons they've had in years.
I agree.
Hey,
I agree.
Hey, Ian, did you know at the time of the rap party that did you know Abby Maria was on the season, or did you kind of discover that later on?
I did find out at the rap party because I met her there, and I knew she was on there. Yes.
Okay.
Ian, is there anything you have going on right now that you want to talk about? Getting married. I don't know. Like, what's up?
Not right now. I'm going back to school, so we'll see what happens.
So no marriage yet?
Not yet.
All right. Well, I'd love to marry Ian. I would, actually. I don't think Ian would marry me, but, right, Ian? Ian?
Yes?
You would not marry me, right?
I feel like there's a little bit of a gap.
Are you talking about age or height? Because I feel like it's a height thing.
Yes. It is definitely a height thing.
All right, good answer, because I would kick your ass. I love Ian, and Ian, I just want to say, you can come on here anytime you want and discuss what you have going on in your future. We're just so happy to know that somebody that's been watching Big Brother forever has
made
a lot of
Audrey. One thing I wanted to tell you real quick, Ian.
You're going to step in front of me? Go ahead, Kansas.
I'm sorry, baby.
No, go ahead.
One thing I wanted to tell you. We got to talk to Ashley a couple months ago. And just so you know, she'd really like to be friends with you. She wants to go to Kennywood Park with you, just to let you know that.
Okay. Because
Kennywood Park is the crap, man. I'm telling you, that's fun.
Oh, yeah.
So she wants to go on the Thunderbolt with you, so definitely.
Okay, very cool.
Keep her in mind as a friend, because I think she really would love to be friends with you.
Oh, yeah, we are.
I'm sorry, Michelle, that's all I wanted to tell him.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I didn't even know about this. This is like new news to me. I thought they were cool, so.
We are, yeah.
Thanks. That's my thought. All right, good, great. You know what, Ian, one thing I want to ask you. Have you made a New Year's resolution? Is there anything that you're keeping the same or doing different or altogether different? Like, what is your New Year's resolution?
No New Year's resolution this year. I feel like I did well enough in 2012 that I don't need to do anything differently this time around.
Good answer. And are you going to be watching Big Brother 15?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Well, next question. Will you be a part of Manic Mondays 2013? Because we would love to have you back on and talk about what you've been doing and maybe your thoughts on the new cast. Who knows what's going to be?
Yeah, Yeah, sure. I could definitely drop by. Yeah.
You're sweet. I'm sure that Cherry or Paul wants to say something to you before we go, but I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time out and hanging out on Manic Mondays. I know I've talked to you many times about this, Ian, so I have many quack pack pictures of you, so quack quack. Cherry,
right, quack, quack.
Do you have any last comments with the fabulous Ian?
I just want to say thank you so much. It was a pleasure meeting you in New Hampshire, and I really enjoyed talking with you. I'm so glad you were able to come on tonight and talk with us. All the people in the chat room enjoyed it so much, and I'm sure people listening to the podcast will too. One person did want to know if you took the cowboy hat home with you.
Joe actually got that and sold it on eBay.
Ah, okay. So that's what happened to the cowboy hat. Okay.
Yes.
Well, Ian, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and I'll see if Paul wanted to ask you anything, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
Oh, I have had lots of questions, but most of them were asked already. I also want to echo Michelle and Cherry's thank you for coming on our show.
Yeah, of course.
We really enjoyed it, and we hope nothing but the best for you in the future.
Thank you very much.
And you're very deserving, and thanks again.
Thank you.
And we hope that you will come back and talk to us when Big Brother 15 starts and talk to us about your thoughts about the show and what you think about the cast and what's going on when the show begins and all that kind of stuff, because we love having Big Brother people come back and talk to us, especially winners, about what you think is going on in the current season. So we hope you'll join us again in the future.
For sure. Definitely.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ian. It's been a lot of fun talking to you tonight.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Michelle?
Yes, darling. You know, I love that we just started the new year with Ian. It makes me feel like, you know what? Let's all start the new year fresh. We start it right, like our deodorant. Smell it, everything's good, check. I mean, you know what? We haven't been on for about 2 weeks. I honestly have been missing you guys. I don't know if you feel the same. But it also had me really regulate myself, because I think we all need to take time for ourselves. I think we all put too much effort and existence into chats and radio shows and whatever. And I, you know, it's probably not the right thing for me to say, but I want everybody to get right with themselves. Because if you don't get right with you, you ain't going to get right with me. Just keep it moving. I just want everybody to recognize that we adore and love every one of you guys. And we've been going through a lot of slack this past year. Just with a lot of things. And the fact that everybody has stayed to the point. I'll just be honest, you know, people don't understand when you lose somebody, there's a lot that goes on. There's a lot that happens. And nobody wants to sit there and talk about it. They just want to keep it moving. Just be there for them. And I appreciate everybody's stand. And I think Ian was such a great guest tonight. He really was up. Oh, he was great. I mean,
starting you off with a winner.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll be honest, you guys, you know, I'm like all messed up, and I don't know why I got to get a piece of potato pie. No, I'm sick. I don't want to deal. I can't. My head doesn't want to work. And I'm super excited to have had this day to come back to what is my norm. I'm going to get back to norm.
We've missed you, girl.
Though it's going to take a minute, I'm going to get back to my norm. All right? But there's, like, a lot in the middle. I just got to keep trucking and just know that there's everybody around me. I'm so excited. 2015 is going to be so awesome.
And happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you, babe. It can't get any worse, right?
So. Hey, you started the year off with a winner, and it's going to be a winner year, period.
Yeah. Go Pats. I'm super excited. Can't wait. And Happy New Year, Patel.
Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, Michelle. And just take care of yourself. Get a lot of sleep and rest and drink a lot of water and get strong for the Pats game. And we'll see you back here next week.
Well, you know what? I'm sick as a dog, and it doesn't matter about the Pats game. It's one of those strains that, I'm just going to drink a lot of alcohol and hope for the best.
Ooh. All right.
Well, thank you, Michelle. I'm going to close the show with Ron, as we always do. You take care of yourself. And
I love you.
get well soon, babe, okay?
Okay, I hope you guys do too, because I know the food's going around bad. So,
all right.
Much love, and I'm giving you guys a heart from my heart.
All
love
right,
you.
Babe. Love you too, babe. And here's Ron to close out our show. Come back Thursday for the Reality Roundtable show. We'll have lots to talk about because there's lots of reality shows coming out. Make sure you join us for that. And I'm going to close the show with Ron, as I always do. Hope your new year is a wonderful one. Here's Ron.
Tonight, it was a great show, and thank you guys for coming, and I'm going to quit off the show with a song, and something that is truly, I say thank you to y'all, like something working. Say thank you for coming to the show. You are so great, and I love you all. We thank you, for coming to the show. And I couldn't get the switchboard to work. Talk to you guys later.
That was Ron years ago, and I had to play it because I love his laugh. Sometimes you just need to hear a loved one's laugh, even if they're gone. And it brings pleasure to your heart to hear that. So I wanted to play that tonight for everyone who misses Ron. Take care, everybody. Be kind to each other. Have a great new year. I hope 2013 is a blessed one for you all. Good night, and God bless.